Every year we have Lent, followed by Easter, and Advent, followed by Christmas. If you think about our year, January to December, it seems that the Christian year is the wrong way round, but it's a continuous cycle of remembering the past, the present, and the future until Christ comes again. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The past to be remembered, the present to be enjoyed and endured, the future unknown but with hope. God clearly telling us that he is the beginning and the end and will be there for all that happens in between. In the present, remember the past. In the future, remember the hope of what is to come. From the first Christmas to the first Easter, in all the celebrations and festivities, Christ can easily be forgotten. Christmas can become mus. The cross replaced by a Christmas tree. The adornment of the Easter cross replaced by the decorations and glitter of the Christmas tree. Christmas is an abbreviation of Christ Mass, a celebration. For those who have forgotten Christ, they are left with mus, which means but. But they have forgotten Christ, forgotten the power of the cross. A compass will always point north. It can be disturbed, but it will always settle back to that position. The Holy Spirit is our guide, our compass, always bringing us back to center our thoughts on God, continually bringing us back to him as our point of reference. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. All things come from him, and ultimately, it all comes back to him. He is the source of all and the fulfillment of all. We live in a society that's corrupted by humanism, where it is considered by many to be politically incorrect to talk about God in other than a church setting. But we can't let society tell us what is important. We have to think for ourselves and take responsibility for our thoughts and actions. It all began with God, and it's all going to end in God. So shouldn't God be central to everything in between? The vertical part of the cross reminds us that God is central to everything. It points up to heaven and down to earth, linking the two in his name. I think of the horizontal part of the cross being the arms of our Lord, reaching out to every part of the world. In the Bible, there are many beginnings: the beginning of a new reign, the beginning of a journey, the beginning of a book, and Christmas, the beginning of the earthly life of Jesus. For us, there are many beginnings too: the beginning of our school lives, the beginning of our working lives, the beginning of our retirement, and for me, that's beginning now, and the beginning of our Christian lives. The beginning of each new day is a chance of a new beginning of some sort. We can make resolutions to change or to do something new any day of the year. We don't have to wait for the new year. It's not so much that initial decision or action that's important, but what happens after that, what follows on, what it leads to. If there had only been the Christmas story with the miracle of Jesus' birth, would we be Christians? If Jesus had sat back and said that the miracle of his birth was enough, would it really have been enough? Becoming a Christian is a wonderful first step, but like anything that's worthwhile, it takes effort and action. But we fail because we're human, because we lack the willpower, the determination, the guts, the drive to see things through. Would we be more faithful Christians if Jesus were physically here to keep reminding us? If he appeared on the TV, advertised in magazines, phoned people to remind them to go to church on Sunday? How many doubting Thomases are there that say, if I could see Jesus, then I would believe in him. If I heard him speak, I would listen to his words. But from what we read in the Bible, people did see and hear him and still did not believe. Those first disciples did see Jesus in the flesh and in the resurrection body. Thomas saw the risen Jesus and believed. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The book of Revelation was written at a time after those who had seen Jesus for themselves had died. John the Apostle, though being held prisoner by the government at the time, wrote to the Christians in the churches of Asia, who were being persecuted by the Roman Emperor Domitian because they refused to worship him. John wrote to give the Christians hope in the midst of their trouble and suffering. The Christians' refusal to worship Domitian stopped him from achieving his goal of uniting the Roman Empire on a spiritual basis. For Christians, only Jesus deserved the title Lord, while the Emperor wanted to be recognized as Lord. Christians recognized the supremacy of God, while the Emperor claimed to hold the world's fate in his hands. The church was quickly settling into a second and third generation existence, with most of the apostles and eyewitnesses of Christ having died. Initial enthusiasm had faded. Expectation of Christ's return did not burn so brightly. Faith in God as more powerful than Rome was questioned. False teachers and false doctrines tempted the church to compromise its moral integrity and to serve both Rome and God. The churches in Asia Minor to whom John wrote faced several temptations in the face of false teaching and government persecution. Firstly, the faint-hearted were tempted to forsake Christ and his church to avoid suffering. Secondly, they could continue meeting with the church, but also bow down to the emperor's image. Thirdly, they had allowed false teachings and claims in their midst, compromising the true gospel message. And fourthly, they had allowed their commitment to Christ to become half-hearted. Christ's revelation called those early Christians, as it calls us today, to commit ourselves wholeheartedly to Christ and to serve his church with evangelistic enthusiasm. Even though those early Christians might be sentenced to death for their actions, how much more readily then should we be to take that risk? At worst, what do we face? Feeling a bit uncomfortable? That's not much of a price to pay. Perseverance is continually emphasized throughout the book of Revelation. It's too easy to drift away from the right path if we don't help and encourage one another and continually remind ourselves that Jesus is the central figure of our lives as he is in this book of Revelation. The first verse of Revelation reads, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place." The book is a witness to God's sovereignty over all human history and activities and organizations. Neither Satan nor those influenced by him can overcome God's purposes. It's the sovereignty of God that is a sure foundation for hope and the promise of victory in the midst of persecution and suffering. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the and the end." Let's consider what those words mean. The Alpha is a Greek TV channel. an Australian men's sports magazine. The highest social class in Huxley's novel Brave New World, the highest ranking individuals in a community of social animals. And it's also a statistical measure of reliability and the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega literally means great O. I don't suppose that children describing things as mega today actually realize that they are saying great in Greek. The omega symbol is used in computer science, maths, and physics. The problem with looking things up on the internet is information overload. Searching for alpha and omega gave me so much information, far more than I could read or understand or would want to know. So I picked out the easy bits, the words I could understand and found of interest and could relate to my life. I didn't read the details about particle physics or circuit analysis. I skipped that bit, you'll be pleased to hear. It's too easy to do the same when reading the Bible. We read the Christmas story. We can understand that. A donkey and then a baby. We can cope with the picture of a wise man following a star. We read the Easter story. We can understand that. A donkey and then a condemned man. We can cope with the picture of the gardener and the empty tomb. We read about the beginning and the end of Christ's earthly life. But God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all things, and not limited to his time on earth. Revelation is about the bigger picture. We can lose sight of the bigger picture, the picture of God and the whole of his creation, past, present, and future. We reduce him down to our priorities and wants. Revelation is about revealing the true nature of God in all his splendor and his authority. So don't miss it out when reading the Bible, dismissing it as too difficult or irrelevant to our daily lives. If we read something that we don't understand, we can ask someone to help us to understand, and we can pray to God that he will give us that understanding. The complexities and different points of view regarding the book of Revelation have robbed many Christians of the tremendous truths which every disciple should learn and practice. The certainty that God acts in history and is moving this world with a sure hand to a destiny he long ago planned for it should motivate Christians to faithful living. God's uniquely all-encompassing and all-surpassing knowledge and power, along with his presence with us now wherever we may be, should cause us to feel good about yielding life to God's will, letting him become King of life right now. The marvelous pictures of Jesus as victorious King, atoning Lamb, eternal Lord and Judge should encourage us to share our faith with absolute conviction that Jesus is the only way to salvation. The catalogue of sins, the picture of human nature, and the role of Satan should alert Christians to the need for a different life and to think about the extent of sin in the business and political worlds in which we live. The theme of judgment should convince believers and non-believers that a day of judgment is coming for everyone. This judgment should call each of us to review our personal relationships with God and prepare to meet him. There is no cheap and easy way to salvation. We can't just sign up and sit back. We need to be constantly aware of anyone, any group or practice which might lead us to be unfaithful to or unfruitful for Christ. Revelation should hold us to hold high the message that salvation includes yielding to Christ as Lord, and that faithfulness means loyalty to Jesus, even in the face of persecution and death. Having learned Revelation's lessons, we should have new courage and new hope to face a world of trouble and suffering in the confidence that faith in Christ leads to rule with him. This is the life God calls us to. It's not easy. It's not always comfortable. But like anything that's worth having, it's worth putting in the effort. What does the future hold for us? For our families, our friends, our church, our community, our world, for those who believe and those who don't yet believe. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. And there we have it again in this verse. Has freed us. Remembering the past of what Jesus has already done for us. Who loves us. Remembering that whatever we do, however many mistakes we make, Jesus loves us here and now. Has made us to be. Remembering God's purpose for us, both here on earth and our future with him in heaven. It might seem strange to be talking about Christmas before we reach Advent, but we should not look at isolated events, but look at each in the context of the Christian year and the Christian life. To be thinking now about our world and how it is affected by consumerism. We might ask, what's our one bit of tinsel doing to the planet? But everyone in the world has their one bit of tinsel. The human race may make many mistakes, and people have paid the price with their lives. People often complain about health and safety regulations, but how many people have been saved because of them? Remembering the past, we should all be working towards a better life for everyone on earth. As we approach Remembrance Day, we remember the sacrifices of those who have given their lives for us in war, in civil conflict, in persecution and death for their faith. And that should influence the way we live today and how we teach the next generation and those to come to give them a better future. God has been there from before the beginning of the world, and he will be there after the end of it and for everything that comes in between. If there is something that we don't want God to see, then it should not be in our lives. The pictures on last year's calendar are as beautiful as the pictures on this year's calendar. And I know those places are just as perfect as they were, and I hope they will continue to be. So before we do or say or buy, just think, how will I feel about this action in a year's time? How will I remember it? And more importantly, how will God remember it? Let's pray. Creator of all things,